Here in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1, it says, now concerning, King James says, spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. You notice the word gifts is italicized. I don't know if you've ever studied this out or not, but the italicized words in the New Testament, really in the Bible, I guess, those are added words by the translators in order to try to help us understand what's being said, and often the added words do help us understand. But in some cases, it sort of misleads us. And in this case, I believe it's a little bit misleading, not completely, but the word gifts is italicized. That means that's added. And you can see, if you look closely, that this chapter is not just about spiritual gifts. It's about anything, several different things, I should say, concerning or pertaining to the Holy Spirit. He talks about God placing us in the body, or the Spirit of God, actually. Verse 13, by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Well, that's not spiritual gifts, but it's something that the Holy Spirit does. It pertains to the Holy Spirit. And so, really, and then he talks about over in the 27th verse, verse number 27, ye are the body of Christ, members in the in particular, God has set some in the church, apostles, secondary prophets, and thirdly teachers, so forth. Those aren't spiritual gifts. Those are ministry gifts, ministry offices. And so the added word gifts is a little bit misleading about this chapter. It does talk about gifts of the Spirit. If you look at verse 7 through 11, he talks about the nine, we call them nine gifts of the Spirit, nine manifestations of the Spirit, whatever you want to call them. But right on the other hand, really the original language just said, now concerning spirituals, plural. I don't want you to be ignorant. Spirituals, the word in the Greek is spirituals, plural. And you might say, what are spirituals? Well, I looked in the margin of my Bible and it says, things pertaining to and of the Holy Ghost. Yes, well, that's what the Lord said he wanted me to. He was going to give me a new assignment here to minister on things pertaining to and of the Holy Ghost. Well, somebody said, you ought to talk about Jesus. We do all the time. He's the one that is the great baptizer in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Jesus, the Bible said, John the Baptist, he said there in Luke chapter number 3, he said, there's one coming. He said, I baptize you with water, but there's one coming that's mightier than I. And he'll baptize, not baptize you in water, he'll baptize you in the Holy Ghost and fire.
Amen. Yeah.
And I caught that fire.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm a little bit like Lazarus. I was spiritually alive to God. Remember, Lazarus was raised from the dead as a type of the new birth. Jesus said, he that liveth and believeth in me will never die. He that is dead, though he was dead, yet shall he live. And he's talking not about physical death there. He's talking about spiritual death. Lazarus, raised from the dead, is a type of spiritual resurrection from the spiritual dead. I've passed from death unto life. Anybody passed from death unto life? And I came out as a denominational boy. I came out of spiritual death. I came out at 10 years old, got born again. But see, when Lazarus came out, that's a type of the new birth. I came out of spiritual death just like Lazarus. But remember when Lazarus came out, he was bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And it says a napkin was across his face or across his mouth. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Well, I came out as a denominational Mennonite kid, as 10 years old, got saved, came out of spiritual death, but I was still bound. I mean, I couldn't dance because I had grave clothes around my feet. I couldn't raise my hands. I was too ashamed to raise my hands because I had grave clothes around my hands. And I couldn't say out loud, praise the Lord, or speak with other tongues because I had a napkin across my mouth. And Jesus saw that poor, pitiful Mennonite boy bound up with grave clothes and said, loose him and let him go. And whenever I got loose, I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. And my feet went that way and my hands went that way and utterances started flowing out of my mouth. And I've been loose ever since. They told me it would wear off, but I'm looser now than I ever was. That's not good English, but you don't, at least you're not confused about what I meant. Praise God. I'm a little like that colt. Remember, Jesus was, he rode a colt into Jerusalem to be, you know, remember they were, he was the grand, Remember when Jesus was being, he went in to be crucified, actually. And he was riding that colt. Remember Jesus said to the disciples, he said, go down there to this next town over here, and there's going to be a colt down there and tied, and you loose him and you bring him. I'm going to ride him into Jerusalem. And he said, if anybody says, what are you doing, loosen the colt, you just say, the master has need of you. Need of the colt. So they went down there and they found, the Bible said they found the colt tied in a place where two ways met. And the Bible said that they began to loose him to take him to Jesus. And the Bible said never had any man ridden on this colt. And the Bible said they loosed him. And they said, well, what are you doing? Loosen the coat. In other words, they thought they were stealing the coat. And he said, no, the master has need of it. And so they must have knew who the master was. They said, oh, okay, that's fine. And so they brought the colt back. Jesus rode the donkey into Jerusalem, and they threw all their garments down. You remember that? Hail him that is King of the Jews, so forth and so on, and worshiped him. Amen.
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 Well, I was a little like that colt. I won't talk about you. I'll talk about me. Amen. I was destined to carry the master to the masses. I was destined to carry Jesus. But I was tied up to my denominational post. You understand what I'm talking about? I was tied up at a denominational post. I saw there was some green grass and spiritual things over there, and I went for it, and my rope wouldn't go that far. I was tied up. And they swatted me back and said, no, that baptism of the Holy Ghost done away with. And I saw some supernatural over here and went for it, and the rope didn't go that far. I was bound. Amen. You understand what I'm talking about? I saw there was more in God, and I went for it, and I was tied up by that denominational post. But Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Woo, glory. Hallelujah. God's got a destiny for every believer, and that is to carry Jesus to the masses. Carry Jesus and take Jesus where he wants to go in this earth. And that destiny is only going to happen if somebody looses you and lets you go. There's a lot of denominational folk today. They're tied to a post at a way where two ways meet. In other words, there's the way of the religious world, dead religion, dead bondage, no life, no power, no freedom, no miracles, no signs, no wonders. And you can go that route, or you can be loosed and go down the perfect will of God route. What's the perfect will of God? That you be continually filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I got loosed. Anybody in here got loosed? I'm done with dead religion. I'm done with formality. I'm done with the traditions of men. I'm done with all these man-made rules. I just want the liberty of Christ Jesus. I'm standing fast in the liberty wherewith I was made free, and I'm not going to be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Hallelujah. It's better over here. I found out that dead religion don't do nothing for you. Just makes you a sourpuss. You know what I'm talking about? Mad at the world, mad at all the sin. Well, there's sin out there, all right. But see, if you get full of the Holy Ghost, you become a blessing to them rather than mad at them. So, hallelujah. I got loose from my denominational post. Hallelujah. They told one minister, he's a Baptist minister, got filled with the Holy Ghost. They told him, well, the old Baptist friends said, well, you lost your ministry. I mean, nobody's going to come now. Nobody else believes in that. And that man went from just a few hundred people to tens of thousands of people and ministering. I'm thinking of John Osteen, ministering to worldwide, 100 nations every week, going in and ministering the gospel to 100 nations every week.
Yes, sir.
Praise be to God. He said, I didn't lose my ministry. I found my ministry. He got baptized in the Holy Ghost and caught fire. Praise the Lord. So, things pertaining to the Holy Ghost. Do you know that one thing pertaining to the Holy Ghost is in Ephesians 5. It says, don't be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be, talking to believers, be filled with the Holy Ghost. Be literally, the Amplified says, oh, I saw it this morning, I don't know if I can quote it, be ever filled or something like that. And that's be being is the way the Greek actually says it. It's not just a one-time thing. People say, I got filled with the Holy Ghost back in 1973. It was a great day. Well, that shouldn't have been the greatest day. Everything should be going from glory to glory. Amen. And it's not enough to get filled back there. How about today? Be being filled continually. That's one thing that pertains to the Holy Ghost a lot of Christians don't know much about. So we're going to talk about it this morning. Dad Hagin was led of the Spirit to emphasize certain things when he was still here ministering. And just because Dad Hagin left doesn't mean that the Spirit isn't still emphasizing these same things. And we should be emphasizing these things or we'll be in danger of losing them. Amen. This, what I'm going to talk about this morning, is going to be a part of the flow of this era between now and when Jesus comes back. It's going to be a major element. You just watch and see. Mark my words. Doesn't sound like I'm saying, thus saith the Lord, prophesying, but I am. That we've got to understand this flow of the Spirit. Back in July of 2010, I was praying one morning and actually fell back asleep. And I had a dream, a spiritual dream. Some dreams are, you know, I don't have these every night. And anybody that says they have them every night, you better watch out for them, you know. But there are such things. And but anyway, I fell back asleep. And in my dream, I was invited to minister at a church. And so I prepared and went, and I got ready and went to the service. And I went in and sat down on the front row. And on the front row, I'm just sitting there waiting. And there's a few people around, and more people came in. And people were just milling around and being social, and that's fine. But it was time for service to start. And I was looking at my watch. I'm thinking, well, you know, it's after 10. I'm not sure what they're waiting on. And it went after 10, 10, 15, 10, 30, 11 o'clock. I'm sitting there just waiting. Just they're just being social. In fact, there's people walking around with alcoholic drinks in their hands. And they're just being, there's entertainment. There's some dancing and some music over there. I don't mean Christian dancing. I mean, you know, just fleshly dancing. And I'm looking around wondering what on earth. I thought I was invited here to minister the word. And I don't know why they're having me here if they're not going to, you know, start the service and all of that. And so I'm just wondering, kind of felt out of place and just kind of looking around. And I looked out, the church had, it was a large church. I looked down the aisle and the doors to the outside. You could see the light coming in, you know, one set of doors and then a lobby and then some light, some doors outside. And to the outside, and you could see the light coming in. And I looked back the aisle, I was sitting up here, and I looked back the aisle, and there came Mom Hagin and Dad Hagin. And they walked down the aisle, and they came in and sat down on the front row. And I'm up here in the front row, not sitting right beside them, but they're sitting on the same row. And I'm thinking, well, you know, Mom and Dad Hagin came to the service. Isn't that a blessing? You know, but it's late, and people aren't starting the service. And they sat there, and they looked around sort of, and it looked like they felt a little out of place. They're looking around. What's going on? I thought this was a church service. In other words, they had come for the word, but nothing was happening as far as the church service. Well, I'm thinking that, well, you know, this is 2010. Now, in my dream, I was aware that Dad Hagin and Mom had been in heaven for a number of years. And I'm sitting there thinking, well, my goodness, if they're not going to start the service, I sure would like to talk to Dad Hagin. And I'm sitting there thinking, he's been in heaven for these number of years. I guess it'd be about 7 almost by that time. And he's been talking to Paul. He's been talking to Jesus, of course. And Paul and Peter. And I'm thinking, my goodness, I wonder what his perspective is now on what he was preaching whenever he left, what he was emphasizing. And I sure would like to talk to him. And people would come past him. You know, people were milling around. They would come past him, he and Miss Aretha, and most of them didn't even recognize who he was. You could tell they didn't even recognize who he was. Every now and then somebody would walk past and sort of say hello, but they never would engage him or ask any questions. And I thought, well, if they're not going to start the service, I'm going over here to talk to Brother Hagin. So I walked over and I greeted him. And I started the conversation by asking him something about spiritual things. I don't really remember right now what I asked him in the dream. And he said, he began to, he actually started in Colossians chapter 3, verse number 16, where it talks about the same thing it says in Ephesians. You can go over there in Colossians 3, 16. I'll just real quickly turn to it. And it says there, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And then he referred to Ephesians 5, and he started saying this. He started saying, the will of God for all believers today is that they be filled and continually filled with the Holy Ghost. He said, the things that pertain to the Holy Spirit is the emphasis of the New Testament. The emphasis of the New Testament is worshiping and praising God in these divinely granted utterances. Now, I'm paraphrasing. I might not be quoting exactly, but I'm paraphrasing. And to praise God under the anointing of the Spirit in these divinely inspired utterances, whether it be tongues or whether it be prophecy in psalms, hymns, and spiritual song. He said, this is the will of God for all believers today, that they be continually filled with the Holy Ghost and that there be a move of the Spirit in the churches. Amen. Amen. And he went right down preaching almost exactly what he was preaching before he left. Talking to me. Just, I don't mean preaching in the service. I mean talking to me. He's preaching to me. Amen. And I got blessed because he's going down the same trail, the same route through the Word that he was going whenever he walked, whenever he was still down here. And then the dream disappeared. And I woke up and the Holy Ghost is all over me. And I said, Lord, this is not just I ate too much pizza before I went to bed dream. This is a spiritual dream. This is from the Holy Ghost. And immediately the interpretation began to come. Are you listening to me? And the interpretation was this. The Lord began to talk to me. He said, the church that you were invited to speak to was not a church, but the church. He said, I showed you the condition of the church today. They're more interested in social clubs and entertainment and recreation and things of the flesh and things of the mind than they are the things of the Spirit. But he said, my Spirit is still emphasizing the same things that were being emphasized by the leaders in the body of Christ before they went to heaven. And he said, I showed you and gave you instructions from your spiritual dad about the direction you're to go in your ministry. Things pertaining to the Holy Ghost. Amen. And he said to me, using their faith to enter into this move of the Spirit. He said, many caught the message of faith in the Word and exercised faith in the Word. But he said, a large portion of the body of Christ didn't catch the message of using your faith to stay filled with the Spirit and following Bible instructions that keeps us full of the Holy Ghost, which is the doorway into a greater move of the Spirit of God. Are you following me? Are you with me? And he said, I'm giving you direction for your ministry. I said, Lord, I'll just stay right on that same path my spiritual dad was on. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. So we must not lose this. Amen. Ephesians over there in Ephesians 5. Let's go over there. It tells us, be not drunk with wine in verse number 18. Be not, we quoted it, but let's look at it. Ephesians 5. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. You know, people that have to drink in order to get over their problems is because they're empty of the Spirit. Amen. The Bible doesn't say that believers cannot drink alcohol. But it does preach against drunkenness. And I don't touch alcohol I wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole because I'm an example. And if I cause somebody to stumble because they see me drinking, there's a higher law here than whether or not I can drink alcohol or not. You understand, if I cause somebody to stumble, who maybe alcohol is a stumbling block for them, and they see me drinking alcohol or they see us sipping on wine, Well, I guess it's okay. And they stumble because of my carnality, really. Why do you need that whenever you've got that alcohol is nothing but a cheap substitute. And if you're not careful, it'll cause you to lose control of your being and your flesh and you'll start doing things you never dream. See, people all the time get either high on drugs or full of alcohol, drunk, and they end up in prison. They wake up and wonder, well, how did I get here? Well, they did something while they were drunk or while they were under the influence of drugs that they didn't realize they had done because they weren't in control of their faculties.
Right. Yes, sir.
And God calls us to be in control of our faculties. Amen. And all that's nothing but a cheap substitute for the real. If you're having a lot of trouble in life and you want to drink your problems away, drink of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You can drink your problems away. Amen. Praise the Lord. Are you still out there? Are you still glad you came? I believe in drinking. I just believe in drinking the right thing. Praise the Lord. You remember Jesus said in John 7, verse 37, he that's thirsty, oh, everyone that's thirsteth, let him come unto me and drink. Told you I believe in drinking. The Bible preaches in drinking. We already read it in Ephesians 5. Don't be drunk with wine, where it's excess, but be filled with the Spirit. How are you going to get filled with the Spirit if you don't drink? This is a drinking church. We believe in drinking. Anybody else here believe in drinking? We just don't believe in drinking the world's alcohol or something that's going to make us lose control of our faculty. We believe in being filled with the Spirit continually by drinking in of the Holy Ghost. So Jesus said in John 7, ho, everyone thirsteth, come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture saith, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spoke he of the Spirit. They that believe on him should receive, because the Holy Ghost hadn't yet given. Jesus hadn't been glorified. But so we Jesus said, listen, if you're having trouble and you're having a hard day, then go ahead and drink. Go ahead and get drunk. Now, what does drunk mean? In the world, it means, you know, people talk about it being intoxicated. They talk about under the influence of alcohol. Well, I mean, if you're going to get drunk on the Spirit, that means to get under the influence of the Spirit rather than the influence of your trouble. Are you still out there? And so there's something we need to understand that we need to look at here this morning concerning drinking. If it's all right with you, tell your neighbor, I'm going to go ahead and stay and not get mad at what he's preaching now. Notice he said here in 1 Corinthians 12:1, don't be ignorant. He said, I don't want you to be ignorant of things that pertain to the Holy Ghost. Concerning things that pertain to the Holy Ghost, I don't want you ignorant. Usually if the Bible says this is an area I don't want my people to be ignorant, usually it's because that's an area they're ignorant.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Amen. Well, what? Let's learn some things about the Holy Spirit. What do you say? Number one, anyone that's born again, they have the Holy Spirit in them. Every believer that has received and confessed Jesus, they're born again. The Holy Spirit's in them. We're not saying they don't have the Holy Spirit. He's just in them. He's not upon them. Amen. Jesus said that the world cannot receive the Holy Spirit. Amen. So that's proof. That's something different. What he said there, the Holy Spirit, that's proof that's something different. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is something different than the new birth because the world can receive the new birth. It's just that there's something in addition to the new birth beyond getting saved and the Spirit of God coming and taking up residence in the spirit of the believer after he's recreated their born-again spirit. There is an additional work beyond the new birth because Jesus said the world can't receive the Holy Ghost. Well, they can get born again and the Holy Ghost can come into them. And so Jesus must have been talking about something different than the new birth and the Spirit coming into us in the new birth. Does that make sense? And there is an additional work of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, or John said, there's one coming mightier than I. He's going to baptize you in the Holy Ghost and fire. See, the first experience is the new birth. That's not the baptism in the Holy Ghost. That's the new birth. The second experience is the Holy Ghost coming upon the believer and then baptizing the holy the believer in the power of God. And Jesus said, in John, actually before he left, he said, you'll receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you and you'll be witnesses. The new birth experience is the Holy Spirit coming in you to minister to you in your life. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is coming, is the Spirit coming upon you to flow out of you to be a witness. Yes, and I'm a much greater witness than I was before I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. It's not me, it's the greater one in me. Hallelujah. Well, things that pertain to the Holy Ghost. Let's think about this. Let's go over to, you're there in, let's just think about John 7. We were referring to that. If you want to turn there, you can look at it with me. But I'm just quoting it. He said, he that's thirsty, come unto me and drink. So what this is telling us is there's an invitation to all of his people to drink of the Spirit and not just do it once. Amen. Ephesians 5:18, be being filled. The Greek literally says, be continually filled. Well, the reason we need to be continually filled is because we leak. You've heard me say that, but I know some of you haven't thought about how much you've been leaking. So we leak. I mean, you can get worn down spiritually just like you can get worn down physically. Well, but there's a refreshing. There's a renewal. There's a refilling. Hallelujah. Remember, Peter was preaching on the day of Pentecost, there in Acts chapter 3, right after the day of Pentecost, and he said, because they preached the gospel after the crowd gathered, and they said, what must we do? And he said, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. And then he said, times of refreshing will come from the presence of the Lord. Yeah. Times is plural. Yeah. So my pastor, I know all this. I've been knowing this since 1969. Well, that doesn't mean we're practicing it. We can know it, but if we don't practice it, we're just as defeated as if we didn't know it. Selah, think on that one. So, but no, we can be being filled. Times of refreshing is plural. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen. And you need times. Somebody said, how many times should I be refreshed? I don't know. It just seems to me like whenever he said in 2 Corinthians 4:16, he talks about the outward man perish, the inward man's renewed day by day. I think it'd be good every day. Every day. He didn't put a limit on it. Every day, just get refreshed, refilled, refired. Go over to Romans chapter number 12 and look at a verse over here. This is in the King James at first, we'll read it. Then we'll read it in some other translations. Look at Romans 12. Look it down at verse number 11. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. The contemporary translation says, be glowing in spirit. The Weymouth says, having your spirits aglow. Good speed, be on fire with the Spirit. Revised Standard Version, be aglow with the Spirit. Amplified, be glowing and burning with the Spirit. Moffat says, maintain the spiritual glow. That's my favorite right there. Maintain the spiritual glow. Notice he said he mentions both your spirit and the Holy Spirit in some of these different translations. So you could put it all together and say, have your spirit continually aglow and on fire with the Holy Spirit. That's something that he told us to do. That's not up to God. I meet Christians that are empty, and they kind of imply almost that God has forsaken them, and that's why they're empty. But no, it's their job. To stay aglow with the Spirit, to stay filled and refreshed and revived and full of the Holy Ghost. And then I'll add this, and stay in victory at the same time. Because this will keep you victorious. Remember the Bible said, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Well, the greater one's in us, but so many times he's not living too big on the inside of us. But see, we can stir him up. So that's what I want to spend the rest of this service talking about, is not waiting for the Holy Spirit to move upon you some sovereign way in some service where somebody else initiated something, but go ahead and stir up the gift of God in you yourself. This is something that pertains to the Holy Spirit. You can stay on fire for God. Now think about it. Let's go over here to what is it? 2 Timothy it is. 2 Timothy 1:6. Paul's writing to his spiritual son Timothy. He said, verse 5 talks about the faith that's in him. And then verse 6, wherefore, in other words, because of that faith, I put you in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Stir it up. I don't know which translation it is. Maybe the Amplified, it says fan the flame. Fan the flame. Well, can't you see that's what Romans 12:11 was saying? Fan that flame. Well, I just seem so empty. I seem so dry. Seems like God's forsaken me. Seems like He's in a galaxy far, far away. Seems like I don't have any joy. Seems like I lost the joy of my salvation. Well, it's still down in there. You just have to stir it up. You just have to stir it up. Amen. By looking at some Christians' faces, it's like the whole world has forsaken them, and on top of that, their mean mother-in-law moved in to live with them forever. By the look on their face. Looks like they're not sucking. Whenever they got baptized in water, it doesn't look like they got baptized in water. It looks like they got baptized in vinegar. And they came up sucking a pickle or something, you know. That's not a true representation of the God that's on the inside of you. Well, this old dark world. Yeah, and this is what keeps that old dark world off of you. So many tests and trials. Well, see, if you've got a full of the Holy Ghost and He's coming out of you, those things can't get in you whenever the power's coming out of you. It's like a garden hose. You got a strong flow of water out of that garden hose. It's hard to get something pushed down in there. And if you stay continually full and speaking in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, praising God, speaking in other tongues, building up yourself, thanking God for the victory. The Bible said, thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory. So constantly thanking Him for the victory. It's hard for all that old stuff of the world to get on the inside of you. It just, this flow of the Spirit just blows depression right out. Blows heaviness right out. Blows all those tests and trials all out of the, getting on the inside of you. It's one thing for them to be on the outside of your life. It's another thing for them to get on the inside of you. Get under the care and under the burden and under the heavy weight of them. Am I preaching all right? I'm telling you, Easter and I was going to hear this message. Because Easter and Iowa needs to hear this message. Boy, you see so many forlorn people. I mean, dear God, their faces and expressions. It's like, my goodness, how many mother-in-laws do you have living with you? You know, I got joy whenever I got saved.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
They told me it'd wear off, but I just keep on stirring.
Yeah.
I haven't become pessimistic or, angry or, well, you're negative because of all the mean people in life or all the people that call you names or whatever. I just don't let it on the inside of me. Hallelujah. I just keep getting full of the Holy Ghost. Notice, stir it up. Stir it up. I put you in remembrance that thou stir up. See, you got to be reminded of these things. That's why I said I put you in remembrance. We got to remember to stir. I said we got to remember to stir. This is God's plan for the New Testament believer, for every one of us. Hallelujah. I'm happy I came. I don't know about you. So stir up the gift of God. Fan the flame, the inner fire, the Amplified says. Praise God. And so there's learn to stir up the Spirit within your own spirit and get those rivers of living water flowing and moving and learn to draw up what's in your spirit. Because greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. The Lord, I was praying the other day and just edifying myself, and I said it this way. Greater is the one that fills me than the one that opposes me.
Amen.
You know, He's in there and He's greater, but unless He fills you, He's not living big on the inside of you. Amen. I want Him to live big on the inside of me. So the way that happens is by continually being filled. Praise God. Whenever you get continually filled, it'll solve us so many things in people's lives. And I'm trusting we're going to get to some of that today. Amen. Greater is he that fills me than he that is opposing me. Amen. You ought to say that regularly. Amen. But don't just say it. Keep getting filled. When was the last time you just spent an hour walking through your house? Glory to God. Hallelujah. The Lord is good to me. I thank you that I'm born again. I thank you that I'm a child of God. I thank you that I have the Holy Ghost in me. I thank you that he's leading me. He's counseling me. Hallelujah. I have the light of life on the inside of me. I have an unction. I know what to do. And you just spoke the word and spoke faith rather than, When was the last time you just built yourself up? You ought to come out of your bedroom after that's over and the whole house gets full of the Holy Ghost. And everybody that was in the house gets me. If they're either going to get mad or glad today. And I mean, because I'm going to stay filled. Full of joy and got the victory. Praising the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, you just has a habit with you. You just do this all the time. Yeah, the Bible says, by him let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. The fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his. Right there's people's problem. Right there's people's problem. It's what's on their mouth. It's what they're saying. Just on purpose, say the Bible all the time. Just on purpose. Even if it makes religious people mad. Just, it's your life, not theirs. You can choose what you're full of. Amen. So God's made provision for us as believers to continually be filled and refilled and refreshed with the Spirit, even in times of test and trial. You ever had something try to get on the inside of you? Tests and trials try to get on the inside of you? Well, this is how you keep them from getting on the inside of you. Hallelujah. You can just get full of the Holy Ghost. Before you know it, all your troubles were drunk away. You drunk all your troubles away. You know, with alcohol, to get filled with alcohol, you got to open your mouth. And to get full of the Spirit, you got to open your mouth. Do you notice Ephesians said, be not drunk with wine, where it says, but be filled, speaking. Speaking. See, right there's people's problem. They're not saying the right thing. They're not saying, praise the Lord. When the devil says, boo, they go, oh, my God. You ought to say, praise the Lord. He is good and his mercy endures forever. I always triumph in Christ. And that won't get on the inside of them. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So what we learn then is, as we practice this, being a doer of the word, and we stir up the Spirit within us, then the Spirit will come and bless that. He'll fill those words of praise because he inhabits the praises of his people. How does God inhabit the praises of his people? By the anointing. Whenever you and I praise God, the anointing comes and fills that. And it is the anointing that breaks the yoke. Amen. Amen. I get empty. I've seen it in my life. I get a little empty and things start creeping back in. Old thoughts, old things. They try to keep, no, I'm not going there. No, I'm going to stay full of God, full of the Holy Ghost. And that keeps me full of the power of God, full of that anointing. Keeps me free. Tell your neighbor, you need to stay free. Amen. Yeah, and besides that, you'll be a blessing to be around. Everybody is a blessing to me. Some bless me when they come into my life. Some bless me when they leave my life. But everybody's a blessing. I want to be the kind of person that is a blessing whenever people say, you're a blessing to have in my life. You're refreshing to be around, not somebody that's refreshing to get away from, you know. Whew, I'm so glad their plane flew today. Woo, glory to God. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody still happy? All right. Now, there are things that happen as you stay full of the Holy Ghost. Tell your neighbor, these are some things that will happen. Now, you need to pay attention. Things that will happen when you stay full of the Holy Ghost. Number one. You'll stay full of the anointing that breaks the yoke. Isn't that right? And these tests and trials won't be able to get on the inside of you. But think about this. Jesus said in John 7, he said, "Come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." This spoke he of the Spirit. So if you want those rivers to be flowing, then he said you have to drink. You have to drink. We've been talking about how to drink. Now, think about a river. Now, if you're in a pond, if you're in a boat on a pond, you're not going anywhere. There's no flow there. When he says out of his belly will flow rivers, he's talking about moving waters. He's talking about waters that you get in that flow, it's going to take you somewhere. I said, it's going to take you somewhere. Amen. Amen. It'll take you out of your circumstances. It'll take you out of your trouble. Amen. It's the exit ramp out of depression. It's the exit ramp out of doubt and fear. You ever had the devil just, boy, he's really talking? You know how to shut him up? Let's go over and find it. You read it in your Bible. I could quote it. But go back there to the book of Psalms. And let's look at Psalm chapter number 8, Psalm chapter number 8, verse number 2. "Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger." Now, King James says, "out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast ordained strength." Jesus quoted this verse in the Gospels. And he quoted it different than it's written here. He said, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, something to that effect, "thou hast perfected praise." Well, somebody say, which one's right? Both of them are right. In other words, praising God is your source of strength. Remember, Abraham grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. Amen. We are to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Notice those things are not just automatic where God just strengthens us. It's something that we cooperate with. And one of the ways we do it is by what we say with our mouth. Giving glory to God is saying something with our mouths. Isn't that right? And so when we praise God, we are strengthening ourselves. When we rejoice, whenever we sing in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, so forth, we're strengthening ourselves. And what do we find here then? Is that you can get out of tests and trials as you praise God. And it will take you out of weakness. It'll take you out of fear. And it'll shut down the voice of the enemy. Amen. Because notice in Psalm 8:2 there, he said, "out of the mouths of babes and sucklings," that's quoted like Jesus said it, "thou hast perfected praise." And then King James goes on to say, "that thou mightest still," that means in the Amplified, I believe, or some other translations I know for sure, "that thou mightest silence the enemy and the avenger." Hallelujah. In other words, the enemy's voice, you can shut him up. You can shut him up. Amen. Sometimes people are always talking about what the devil's saying. That just tells me they're not praising God much. Because if they'd praise God, it would shut him up. If they would answer it with the Word and say, "no, it's written, the Word of God says, and I'm going to praise God for the Word," it would have shut up, and now they'd be hearing what God's saying rather than what the devil's saying. I'd rather you come and say, "this is what God's saying," rather than, "this is what the devil's saying. The devil's been talking to me." Well, if you listen, God will talk too. He's talking. You just have to get in the flow. Amen. Tell your neighbor he's preaching better than your amen. So it'll take you somewhere. It'll take you out of that yakety yak yak. It'll shut the devil up. It'll take you and it'll be an exit ramp out of oppression and out of your circumstances. And it'll take you right into the power of God. Amen. It'll take you into the increase of spiritual things. It'll take you into the increase of sensitivity to spiritual things. You'll be more aware of God and what He's saying, what the Spirit's doing. Sometimes people say, "you know, man, what's God doing? What's God saying to you?" Mm-hmm. That's their answer. Well, they can. They don't have to be in the dark. They can be in the light. Walking in this is one way to find out what God's saying. So it'll take you out of your circumstances. It'll bring you into increase of spiritual things, increase in the anointing, increase in revelation, and increase of the move of the Spirit when it comes to this era. This is the river. This is the river into the fullness of this era. Speaking divinely inspired utterances in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, praising God, and getting filled with the Holy Ghost. I found in my life, the more I do this, the more move of the Spirit I have in my life. Whether it's the move of the Spirit for my life personally or in the ministry. Well, if it works for me, it'll work for you. It'll work for all of us. Remember, the Bible said Stephen was filled with the Holy Ghost. He stayed full. Remember, it said, this is Acts 6. Remember, it said, look ye out among you seven men full of an honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. So the qualification for all of them, what was there, seven? All of them was that they be filled with the Holy Ghost, right? Amongst other things, full of the Word and full of wisdom. All right, so they chose seven. Now we know all those. Here's seven men that are full of the Holy Ghost. And, but then it never goes on to mention the rest of them other than Stephen. It says repeatedly, and Stephen, full of the Holy Ghost and power, or full of faith in the Holy Ghost. It mentioned over and over again that he was full. What does that mean? Initially, all of them were full, but the other ones didn't stay full. And notice, full of the Holy Ghost and power, did great signs and wonders. So there's an increase of the move of the Spirit by staying full of the Spirit. And listen, that's something we initiate, not God.
Amen.
Whether we're full or not is not up to God. Notice, and we read 2 Timothy 1:6. He said, stir up the gift of God. That's not God doing that. That's us doing that. Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine, whereas excess, be filled. That's not God doing that. He's the understood subject is you and I. Be being continually filled. In other words, if I'm not continually filled, it's because I didn't drink. Amen. And if anybody's not continually filled, it's because they didn't drink or not regularly practicing drinking. Hallelujah. It's all available. How much of God do we want? Am I preaching all right? I want more of God. Do you want more of God? Another thing that'll happen here is that the fire of God will burn off grave clothes. I talked to you about my grave clothes. When I got born again, I had a lot of grave clothes on, like Lazarus. But the more I caught fire, the more I looked down, those old dirty rags weren't on there no more. You could come out of spiritual death, but still have things hanging on you on the outside. You're new on the inside, but maybe there's old bondage to cussing or bondage to immorality or bondage to, you know, just cigarettes or some kind of habit of the flesh or something like that. Those are grave clothes. They didn't come with the new birth. They came from where you used to be. They came from that old life. Grave clothes. Amen. I mean, people in the grave wear grave clothes. People in spiritual death wear those kinds of things. People in spiritual death are bound by all those habits and all those bondages of the flesh. Well, you can get born again and still, and that happens on the inside, but still have things hanging on the outside. Stuff that came from where you came from. Well, how am I going to get that off of me? Well, there's two ways. You can wash it off with the water of the Word, and it'll get washed off, or you can just get it burned off with the power of the fire of the Holy Ghost. Either way. In fact, I'd suggest both of them. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Things just don't hang on you when you stay full. I mean, you leave a service. I remember whenever the word Mennonite fell off of my name. I danced in the Holy Ghost and looked up, not murder, because it had followed me around my whole life. I looked up and there's the word Mennonite. But I got full of the Holy Ghost and got to dancing in the Holy Ghost one service, and I looked up and it wasn't there anymore. I'm like, woo! Nothing against the Mennonites. They got me saved. Thank God for the Mennonites. I mean, anybody's doing good, we just appreciate them. But I needed more. I was defeated in a lot of ways. Anybody identify? Praise God, I got unhooked from my denominational post. Got free. I don't know. You're just looking at me like a cow in a new gate this morning. You still having a good time? Now, the fuller you are, the more refreshing you are, and the more leadings you'll have. I'm talking about different things that'll happen if you stay full. It says in Luke 4, verse number 1, Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, was led of the Spirit, and it talks about him being led out into the wilderness where he's tempted of the devil. Well, the fuller you are, the more you'll sense and be aware of his leadings. Amen. Sometimes we have to realize that over there in Acts 13, it says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate unto me Barnabas, and so forth and so on. That's the atmosphere that he talks in. Yeah. Yeah. Ministering to the Lord, the Amplified says, worshiped him. They're just worshiping God, worshiping the Lord, thanking, spending time thanking him and worshiping him. And as they did that, the Holy Ghost said something. It's not so much that the Holy Ghost only talks at that time. It's that now we will hear it. He's talking all the time. He's talking to a lot of things. He's talking a lot of things to a lot of people. But they're just not full enough to hear it. They're not they're not enough in the spirit to hear it. They're in their minds paying attention to their circumstances. Their attention is on that, and they're not hearing it. I'm talking about what will happen if you get full. You get full, and you'll start recognizing the leadings. And those leadings will start taking you rivers. They'll start taking you into the perfect will of God. I like something Smith Wigglesworth said. He said, the power of God and the move of the Spirit will take you out of your plans and put you right in God's plans. Boy, I've had a lot of my plans. Anybody else had a lot of your plans? God's Spirit, I got full of the Holy Ghost, and I'm like, oh, no, can't do that. I'm doing this. Woohoo! Happy about it. Some of you are looking at me like you're not sure you want to get full now. Believe me, you want the plan of God. That's where the goodness of God is. That's where the fullness of the blessings of God are. So you stay full, and you'll be more led, or you'll be more aware of the leadings of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Can you see what we're talking about? All right. Now, let's talk a little bit about, let's talk a little bit about these tests and trials. The thing about getting out of tests and trials is that you'll find in the Bible, let me back up and say this. Whenever we see Ephesians 5, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, be filled with the Spirit. We see John 7, you know, drink. Hey, if you're thirsty, come unto me and drink. Out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. These verses in 2 Timothy 1, 6, stir up the gift of God. These are all our responsibility. We can initiate these things. We don't need to wait for a service to, you know, where the Spirit of God moves and for us to be refreshed or us to be refilled. Isn't that right? And so when we read these things, what he's talking about is, if you want to be filled of the Spirit, yield to the Spirit. And that's a big word in the Bible. We'll wrap it up by this and just mention a few things here. By yielding, we get full. Now, you can just write this verse down. I won't go there, but 2 Peter 1:21, it says that holy men of, this is how the Scriptures came. How many of you know the Scriptures came by inspiration of God? Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So the Spirit of God came on them, and they, some of them wrote, but some of them spoke. He's really talking about the Old Testament here, but it's true in the New and Old Testament. Holy men of God spake or wrote as they were moved on by the Holy Ghost. Notice. As they were moved upon, they did something. Notice they didn't say, and close their mouth. Go ahead, Holy Spirit. No. To yield, if you look it up, the word yield, you look up the word yield, it means to do. To yield means to do something. People say sometimes, well, I've seen you all dance and everything. If I ever dance, it'll be the Lord. No, it won't. It'll be you. You mean me just putting it on? Well, if you want to. But I'm talking about whenever the Holy Ghost moves on you. And he's inspiring you to do it. You got to do something. That's how they got initially baptized in the Holy Ghost, Acts 2:4. They were all filled with the Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. People read that and say, I want to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, and then you pray for them and they won't speak. There's things coming up out of them, but they won't speak these utterances in tongues. They won't speak. They think the Holy Spirit's going to do the speaking. But that verse said, they were all filled and began to speak. And they began to speak. No. It said the Spirit gave them utterance. Yeah, he gave the utterance to their spirit, but he didn't do the speaking. The Holy Spirit doesn't speak in tongues. No, you do as he gives you the utterance. You do. Do. You do. I remember when I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, it came up like a gusher. Wanted to come out. I closed my mouth. I didn't know if I wanted to say that or not. And they kept saying, no, go ahead and speak that out. I had to do something. And I didn't get full until I did something. Amen. I got full and I got drunk, actually. And I'm hanging on the doorknob of the closet. I was like, I got full and drunk on the Holy Ghost. Don't feel sorry for me. It helped me a whole lot. Help you too. Some of you are looking at you after preaching to you for an hour. I think you need some. Praise the Lord. So to yield means to do something. It means action, but not just action from your head, action out of your spirit. Amen. It's from your heart as he moves upon you. You won't get anything by being all closed up and defensive and sitting there holding on to the chair. And amen. Hallelujah. So to yield means to do something. Remember whenever Jesus was at the wedding and Mary said, whatever he says to do, do it. That's the key to the supernatural. Some of you heard that and some of you missed that. That's the key to the supernatural. That's the key to staying full. That's the key to miracles. It's the key to the power of God being continuously flowing in your life. Whatever he says to you to do, do it. Amen. Now, the Lord said this to me one time. He said, every test and trial has a yield sign beside it. Amen. You get into a test and trial, and you look up, and there will be Ephesians 5:18. There's a sign, 5:18. Ephesians 5:18. What is that? A yield sign. You get in a test and trial, you look up, and there'll be a sign that says John 7:37. 38 down in through there. Amen. You get in a test and trial, you look up, and there'll be a sign, 2 Timothy 1:6. Stir up the gift of God. That's a yield sign. Those are yield signs in the Bible. Are you still out there? Paul and Silas got put in jail, and they looked up, and there's a yield sign. It said, praising and worshiping him. He inhabits the praises of his people. In other words, if you want to get out of here, if you want to find the exit out of jail, start praising. And they saw that yield sign and they put on their blinker. Woohoo, I'm exiting the prison right here. They prayed and sang praises, came right out of their test and their trial. Well, but it's a hard test. Yeah, you need to drink it. Get over it. Drink till you just forget about it. Remember over in the Old Testament, Israel, they had a big test. Came three armies. They were one army, and three armies came against them much mightier than they were. And they looked up, and there's a yield sign. And they said, let's put the singers out front. Praise the Lord. They yield. Now listen, they didn't yield to the depression. They didn't yield to the worry. They didn't yield to the fear or the unbelief. I'm going this way. Put their blinker on and yielded to God.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Come on.
Amen. And they went, put the singers out front. And guess what? The Lord sent it released. That anointing went into that situation and destroyed the yoke. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, if you get on a highway, there's yield signs all at different points where you yield to get into a flow. Whenever you get on a highway, you probably go home, maybe some of you 380 or something, there'll be a yield sign. If you want to get into the flow of the traffic, you got to yield and merge into that flow. Am I preaching all right? Hallelujah. So these scriptures are yield signs. If you want to get into the river that's going to take you out of your test and your trial, put your blinker on at Ephesians 5:18. Okay, I'm going to merge into Ephesians 5:18 right now. Hey! And that river will take you right out of the flow of your problem and right into the flow of the Holy Ghost that destroys the yoke. Praise the Lord! Amen. When the Spirit says certain things to your heart, yield to that. On the highway, there's a flow of traffic, and there's exits and entrance ramps, and that's where you get into the flow or out of the flow, and that's also with the road of life. You're going down the road of life in your faith mobile, and you hit a rough spot. I mean, it's messing your faith mobile up, and you look up, and there's a yield sign. Exit right here. It'll say exit into the glory. Okay, well, that's I'm going over here, you know. Exit your test and your trial. Entrance into the glory of God. The flow that takes you into the glory of God. Hallelujah. You know, you don't have to create the flow. You just yield to it. There's already a flow of the Spirit in the earth today. You and I get into it, it'll carry us where we need to go. Oh, I'm trying to get into healing. Stop, 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 stop. Just yield to the flow that takes you there. Yes, it is. Don't yield to the trial, yield to the power. The yoke-destroying, yoke-busting power of God. Amen. Praise God. If you're going to get out of your test and trial, it's going to be dependent on you yielding to the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Did you get anything out of this? Hallelujah. The devil is so used to people yielding to worry and, they're all wrought up in the test and the trial and yielding to the, requesting for prayer. Lord, everybody pray for me. There's a place for prayer. But if you don't do the right thing after that, you didn't take the exit. I mean, you're going to stay in the test and the trial. So the devil's so used to people not yielding to that that he keeps bombarding them with all these tests and trials and holds their attention in that. But by yielding to the Spirit, we get our attention on the glory flow. Amen. Well, I did it. I preached myself happy.